inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I am super excited to bring back onto the podcast today Mark Owens from Baltimore, Maryland. I wanted to bring Mark back on the show today for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's been super successful in building out his rental portfolio. He's been doing this for 15 years. He's got over 100 rentals in his portfolio. And I think there's a lot we could learn from him just from his success. But what makes Mark awesome is that he's super down to earth and super relatable. So whether you are just getting started or you've been doing this for a long time, I think there's a lot of great gems you're going to be able to pick out of today's episode. We're going to cover a lot of topics. I want to keep things moving pretty quickly, but some of the stuff we're going to talk about today are Mark's going to share some tips for networking with other investors and some tips for finding a really good realtor. We're going to talk about the Burr method. That's how Mark has built a lot of his portfolio. He's going to share some really good tips and tricks and some things to watch out for if you're doing the Burr method. And he's going to share some great information for investing out of town. So we'll get into it in just 30 seconds. We need to get a quick word in from our sponsor. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Mark.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Hey, Mark, welcome back to the podcast.
Okay, Dan. Hey, the first thing I'd like to do is thank you for inviting me back on. I've actually met a lot of people through the first podcast, and everyone has spoken like really highly of your podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of them out there that specifically deal with us. There's a lot of other stuff, but this specific thing about how to make money with rentals, there's not a lot out there. So
yeah.
I wanted to thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming back.
10 years ago.
Right. Yeah, well, I appreciate you coming back. I mean, you've got a really great story, and you were one of our most popular shows. So I'm happy to have you back on the show. So for anyone that didn't hear your first episode, you were on back last July of 2017 on episode 118. For anyone that hasn't heard that episode, why don't you just tell us a little bit about where you are today and how you got there?
Okay. So today, my market is Baltimore, Maryland, Baltimore City specifically. I started here about 15 years ago. And I was an IT guy before that, and I just started looking for mostly turnkey rentals because I didn't really I didn't know anybody to do the work, and I didn't have time to do it because I had a regular job. And my original intention was just to buy a few rentals to help out in case, you know, like I was injured or sick or something and couldn't work, then I would have some money coming in. And I have to admit it, like I kind of got addicted to the cash flow. And it was like, man, if I buy like one more house, it pays for my car. And if I buy one more, it pays for my house. And it just kept escalating. And about, I guess about maybe 4 years into it, I was making enough money off my rentals where I could quit my IT job. And I was also, I started wholesaling at that time to supplement my income. So I've been in this business about 15 years, and I guess I quit my, and I got out of the regular rat race and entered a different rat race about maybe 11 or 12 years ago. The new rat race is out looking for properties at cash flow. That's the new rat race that I'm in, but this is one that I actually like.
And it's a whole different thing. I mean, you're not working 8 hours a day anymore. You work an hour or two a day, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm kind of like almost embarrassed to say it, but yeah, I mean, I'm in a position now where I can, it's like, if you love what you're doing, do you consider it work? I mean,
right.
I don't know.
It's
I mean, Monday mornings are my favorite part of the week. I love Monday mornings. You know, today it's a Monday and it's my favorite day of the week.
So, That's awesome. So how important to get where you are today, and you've got over 100 doors, I guess as of the last time we talked, you had 100 doors. Have you bought anything new?
Yeah. I keep saying I'm not going to buy anymore, and then I get bored and I buy another house. So I've picked up another, I think just one.
Okay.
And I'm actually putting in an offer this morning to do a retail rehab. I'm not, I would never do a podcast on retail rehabs because I'm really not that good at them. But yeah, I really, I have too much free time. So
That's great. That's a great side hobby to do a retail rehab just here and there on the side. So now getting to where you are today, which is, I think, a place that a lot of our listeners strive to be at, how important were setting goals to accomplishing everything you've done?
Man, it's funny that you say that because I've been stressing that a lot the past couple weeks with other people and with other, you know, venues. Goals are like everything. I mean, if you don't have goals, then you're just going to kind of drift around and you might get there and you might not get there. Mm-hmm. Goals are really important to have something to work for. And I'm not saying create a goal like, okay, I want to have, you know, 100,000 doors in 10 years. I'm talking about realistic goals that still challenge you.
So would you say, like, set a goal for this year, I want to buy 2 properties? Or would you say it's better to maybe go further out that over the next 5 years, I want to buy 20 houses? Like, what do you think is better?
Personally, I think it's better to set a longer-term goal and then break it down into shorter-term goals. Your long-term goal might be, I want to own, you know, 25 doors in 5 years. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, let's break that out. That's 5 doors a year. Okay, well, what can I do today to get my first door? I would definitely break it down. And then your goals can always change as you know, if you get 10 doors your first year, you can say, okay, instead of shooting for 25, I'm going to shoot for 40. You can always change your goal as you get more information available to you.
So if somebody say that they want to buy, say, 2 houses this year, like what's an important thing to figure out how you're going to get there? Because, you know, I guess it, depending on how much money you have or how much time you have, it might be different. Like, so I guess everybody can get there, but how they get there might be different. Would you agree with that?
100%. I mean, when I meet with people that, you know, are interested in getting into this business or taking it to the next level, you know, the first question I have is, well, where do you want to be? Like, where do you want to be in a year or 2 or 5 years? And then the next question is, what tools do you have available right now to get you there? Specifically, how much money do you have available? How much time do you have available? And what does your credit look like? And if you've got, like, you know, if you have none of those, then you're probably in the wrong business. If you have one of the three, you can work with that. If you have, you know, if you have 2 of the three, that's better. If you have all 3, then you're old. You can take off much faster. So the first question that I would have is, what are your goals? And the second question is, what do you have available to get you there?
Right. Okay. So if somebody, let's just take one for example, like if somebody is maybe a busy professional, they have some money, but they maybe don't have the time to go out there and find deals and do everything else. Like, what would you recommend is a good way for them to get going?
I would say turnkey and possibly partnering up with other people, but definitely they're going to probably want turnkey stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where it's not going to require as much time. You know, and again, like I said, this is a very specific to the individual
sure.
type of thing, because if they're thinking, well, I'm just going to make up an example. Like if it's a professional, it's an attorney and he's got $100,000 in the bank and he wants to buy rentals. If he's not concerned about buying, renovating, refinancing and doing it again, if he's just thinking, well, I'm just going to spend this $100 and whatever happens, then they're going to have one set of options. If the guy's like, well, look, this is the only $100 I'm ever going to have, then you're going to want to try to milk that as much as you can, mm-hmm. which means you're going to need to start buying stuff that you're going to renovate so you can refi out and get your money back. And that's right. a whole different, because that's going to require a lot more time.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that's the thing that's, I think, hard for new people to wrap their head around is there's so many different ways that you can do rentals. Like there's not one set way that here's what you do. And I think maybe that's what people are looking for is a blueprint of, do this, take this step, then do this step and do this step. But it's going to be different depending on what you have to bring to the table.
Well, it can drive you crazy. I mean, personally, I love that, but I don't know if they have Baskin Robbins all over the United States, but some people can go into Baskin Robbins and spend a half hour trying to figure out which mm-hmm. flavor ice cream they're getting.
Right.
And then some people just go in and say, I would just want chocolate. You know, I'm not going to sit here and waste my time trying to make, I think Mark Zuckerberg wears a gray t-shirt every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have to spend his time trying to figure out which shirt to wear.
Right.
So for that's where the advice that I have for people a lot of times is find somebody else that knows what they're doing, that's been doing it for a while, and sit down and just talk to them. Go out to lunch with them, explain to them where you're at, where you want to be, and maybe somebody that's gone ahead of you can help you, you know, chart the path to what you would consider your own personal success.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I think, really good advice, because there's no need to reinvent the wheel. Like, people have reached financial freedom. People have bought rental properties, and you just have to figure out what they've done and just do it. Right.
Sure. And there are a lot of options. I mean, and it could be overwhelming to somebody that doesn't understand the business. Mm-hmm. And each option that you pick is going to have its own separate, you know, set of circumstances that are going to, you know, possibly change in the future. Like, I get people that call me all the time and they say, "Hey, Mark, I want to buy this house and, you know, renovate it. I'm going to put $30,000 in it and I want to refi out, you know, in like maybe 8 or 9 months from now after I get a tenant. Which bank should I call?" Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right. I mean, the banks that are doing it today probably aren't going to be doing it in 8 or 9 months.
Right. Right.
And the banks that right now aren't doing investor loans may be all, you know, going crazy doing them in 8 or 9 months. So that market is constantly changing. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why you need to stay in contact with other people that are active in the business, because, you know, right now I'm not going to BS somebody and say, "Oh yeah, go to this bank. In 8 or 9 months, they're going to take care of you." I know that that might not be a true statement. Mm-hmm. So you really want to stay current. And the way you do that is just by talking to other people that are actually doing it.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
Mark has done the Burr method dozens of times as he's built out his rental portfolio. So I want to see if he can share with us some tips and some tricks for getting a Burr done. We'll get into that here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about a really awesome property management company called MyLandlordHelper.com. Most people, when they're looking for a property management company, they feel like they're limited to the local management companies in the town where the property is. Well, I want to let you know that you actually have another option, and that is a national property management company based in Chicago called My Landlord Helper. Now, they're in Chicago, but they manage properties all across the country, and they do it over the phone and online. Now, if you think about it for a second, most of the time when a tenant has an issue, they're going to call into the property manager. Well, what does it matter if the property manager is in the same town where the property is, or if they're halfway across the country? Like, it really doesn't matter. They just want someone to answer the phone and to deal with the issue and call a repair person. And that's what My Landlord Helper does. They can help with tenant screening. They can deal with maintenance issues. They can collect rent. They can do 99% of what a local property manager would do, with the obvious exception of going out to the property. So it's a really awesome service. They have awesome customer service and they have really good rates. I mean, they can manage the properties way cheaper than what a local property manager was going to charge you. Now, if you want to learn more, go to mylandlordhelper.com. They're offering a free strategy session and also a free copy of their ebook, The Ultimate Guide for Collecting Rent. You can get this all at mylandlordhelper.com. It's super easy. You can sign up for an appointment right there on the website. And they're a really good service. I would definitely recommend them. Mylandlordhelper.com. All right, let's get back to the show. So, Mark, networking with other investors is really important as you're building out your rental portfolio. What do you think the best way is to connect with other local investors?
Man, that's like one of my favorite topics. Definitely the old school REAs, they're still out there. I think they're starting to, how do I put this? They're starting to shrink a little bit because the social media has created so much competition. So a lot of the REAs are, they're still good. You're still going to find a lot of players there. If you walk into the room, there's 200 people, you can have 20 people that are really doing well, and you're going to have, you know, 100 people that are, you know, just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and they're trying to figure it out.
Right.
The REAs are really good. Meetups, you know, there's a ton of local meetups that you can go to. I mean, unless you're like, you know, in a really rural area in the Midwest and the closest big city's an hour away. And if you live in more of an urban area, there are a lot of meetups around. There are a ton of Facebook groups now that are out there that, you know, you can go up, you don't have to leave your house. I mean, you can just type in, you know, for instance, Baltimore Investors Network, and then you can join a group of 2,000 people that are active investors in Baltimore City, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
Yeah. And so that there's a lot of ways to do it.
And if there isn't one in your area, just start one. You know, any group that you see, somebody started at some point. So just start a local meetup. You know, go on meetup.com and start a meetup group and see who shows up. You know, I'm sure people will. So
I agree 100%.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Burr method. You mentioned that a little bit earlier, that and the Burr method is how you've built a large part of your portfolio, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So I was doing it before I ever heard of the Burr method. I thought I discovered it all by myself, and then I found out that other people were doing it.
For anyone that doesn't know what the Burr method is, can you explain it real quick?
Sure. You want to look for a property. I'm going to make up some numbers that are going to be like real simple to follow. You're going to look for a property, for example, that has an after repair value, an ARV, of $100,000. And then you're going to want to buy something that needs a bunch of work, and you're going to fix it up, and then you're going to hopefully be all in at 70% of the after repair value or the ARV. So I'm just going to give you like a higher level overview. The B in Burr stands for buy, then renovate, refi, repeat. That's my version anyway.
Yep.
So you want to buy something that needs some work, because that's how you're going to get your equity. So if you buy a house, for example, for $40,000 and you put 25 in it, that adds up to 65. And then you've got 5,000 maybe for closing costs and holding costs, that adds up to 70,000. So you buy it for 40, you put 25 in it, you know, maybe a new kitchen, carpet, paint, miscellaneous repairs. You throw a tenant in there, for example, paying, I don't know, $1,300 a month rent. Then you contact one of your local banks and say, hey, I want to, you know, put a note or a mortgage on this property or do a refi if you're using hard money. Then they're going to appraise it. And if it appraises at 100, which is what your hopes are, and they'll do a 70% LTV, it'll give you $70,000 back.
So
and if you're able to do that, then you're able to get all your money back or close to it.
So you've basically just created equity out of thin air at that point.
Well, you can say thin air, or you can say sweat equity.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Sweat and blood equity are going to be more likely the way that you do it.
Now, when you're doing this, are there any gotchas? Like, is there anything that the bank might ask you for that maybe you should prepare for up front to make sure you have the documentation that they're going to want, or they may ask for?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's something that a lot of people don't take into consideration. Absolutely. The smart thing to do first off is make sure your credit's tight. If it's not, start working on it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have good credit in this business, but it makes it a lot easier to do the business, and it's going to make it a lot cheaper for you. So work on your credit. The other thing that you want to do is, you know, the day you buy that property, go through and take a lot of pictures, presenting that property in the worst light that you can. I mean, if if the drain in the stairwell is clogged and it's flooded the basement, take pictures of that. Take pictures of any mold that's in the basement. Take pictures of faulty wiring or bad windows. And then after you're done all the work, take the after pictures and present the property in the best light. Because you're going to want to show them that you actually, created some value. Mm-hmm. Keep your receipts. You know, if you got permits, you're required to have permits, and make copies of all that stuff, because there is the chance that when the bank sends their appraiser out, they're going to want to see that the work that you did had permits, and they're going to want to see, there's a possibility that they're going to want to see copies of receipts, especially for retail rehabs. The last retail rehab I did, they wanted to see copies of receipts for items that I had purchased. So, to my surprise, but I did have them available. But I would definitely do that.
How many Burrs would you estimate you've done over the years? Is it most of your portfolio, or?
I would say, yeah, most. I mean, okay. I've done it with, let me see. The first one was with a 15-unit mixed-use building where it was 8 apartments and 7 commercial spaces. I've done it mostly with some of the larger buildings. I did it with a 10-unit, 15-unit, a 14-unit, a 13-unit, an 18-unit.
Okay.
Sure, there's a couple other ones that I'm not thinking of in a bunch of houses.
Now, so if it's done in a perfect world, you would get all your money back. Have you ever not been able to get all of your money out when you did the refi?
That is true.
Okay.
There have been times where I wasn't, but I have other lines of credit that I was able to use.
Okay.
So it was technically none of my money, mm-hmm. but that works. I mean, I've set myself up. I have those resources available. Everybody doesn't have that.
Right.
So that was something I worked for.
But I think that's a good thing for people to keep in mind. Like, don't cut it so tight that if you don't get every last penny out, you're going to be in a bad position because there could be a low appraisal or maybe the rehab goes over budget. Things definitely can go up. And have you seen it happen a lot where you can't get everything back?
No, I mean, not for me.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a couple of times where, you know, I did the refi and I had to come to the table with money, but I have lines of credit where my line of credit was like 3%.
Okay.
Amortized over 15 years. So,
right.
That's, you know, I paid that back first.
Yeah. Now, we have a lot of investors that live in California or live in really expensive markets, and they're maybe not the best markets to own rental properties in. So they'll maybe look for an area that's 5 hours away where they really don't know the market very well. Is there any advice that you would give them? Because you're obviously in Baltimore, which is a great cash flow market. And I'm sure you get a lot of investors from other areas coming in. Is there any advice that you would give to people who are maybe going to be investing in a market that maybe they don't know as well as a local?
Yes, there is. How do I put this? Years ago, the joke used to be, if you can't sell your property, raise the price and advertise it in the Washington Post. And because then you're going to find a DC guy that doesn't know the Baltimore market and they're going to overpay.
Right.
That's still the joke, but people don't have, you know, now it's Craigslist instead of the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. If someone is trying to wholesale you a property and they can't find somebody in their own market that'll buy it, then that's an indication that might not be a deal. If they have to go 500 miles away to find somebody dumb enough to buy the house, it might not be a deal.
Right.
Those are words of caution. Some of the things that I would do, like, you know, I buy exclusively in the Baltimore area, but if I decided I was going to start buying, I don't know, in Miami or Philadelphia or something, then I would probably go online and I would look for meetup groups or Facebook groups specifically that deal with those markets. Like I might type in, you know, Philadelphia real estate investors or something like that and look for Facebook groups. And then I would just start to follow the threads on there. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, and start to maybe sign up for some of the wholesalers lists. And you can do some stuff like Zillow and Redfin and stuff like that. Those things aren't always accurate. In fact, oftentimes they're not. But at least it can kind of give you an idea. You could post something on a Facebook group and say, hey, can somebody tell me about the unit block of Main Street? And maybe you're going to get some replies telling you what the ARVs are, or what the market's like, or the neighborhood. And you can start to learn the market remotely just by following those threads and asking questions.
Right.
And usually there's going to be enough people in the larger urban areas where, you know, you're going to find some angels that are going to be willing to reach out and provide you with some information without any expectations of anything in return.
Have you had much luck with realtors?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, I love realtors.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but they're hit or miss too. Like, you know, I mean, you know, some landlords are great landlords and some are like, you know, really bad, and some agents are like awesome, and some really, you know, don't really like dealing with investors. I mean, investors are tough to deal with anyway, because mm-hmm. we're all trying to save as much money. We all want to go look at 20 houses, make 20 lowball offers in hopes that we're going to get one of them accepted.
Right.
And the agent's looking at it like, man, I got to get put in 20 offers on 20 houses, and this guy's going to lowball, and I'll be lucky if I get anything. So I can understand why the agents wouldn't want to work with us.
Right.
So, you know, it's tough, especially if you're new, because if it's an agent that really knows their stuff and you're a new investor, not only are they doing all that work, but they're educating you at the same time without any compensation.
Right.
And that's not really fair to them. So
totally.
One of the ways around that a lot of agents in the Baltimore area use is because a lot of our housing stock is you know, people are buying houses $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. Well, the agents are going to say, look, I want a minimum commission of $3,000. So if you put in an offer and it's accepted for a $50,000 house, the agent's typically going to get $1,500 from the seller side. Well, the buyer's going to have to compensate them with another $1,500 to make it a minimum $3,000 commission. A lot of agents do that. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Because you can sell one $200,000 house or four $50,000 houses.
Right.
You know, the one $200,000 house is a lot less work for the same amount of money. So that's why a lot of them don't want to cater to us, because of the low commissions. So that's, don't be surprised if an agent says something like they want a guaranteed minimum commission.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's worth it. I mean, if they're getting you into deals that maybe you wouldn't have found on your own, I mean, I think it's totally worth it to pay them a little bit extra.
Sure. Well, one of the things you'd want to do is ask the agent, like, you'd want to give them a specific area. Like, for instance, the zip code in Baltimore, maybe 21206. You'd say, hey, listen, I want you to set me up with an auto search for everything that happens in 21206 or 21206. So you're going to see everything that gets listed, everything that goes under contract, and everything that sells. That's one way you can learn your market. And you can do that if you live in California. You can learn a Baltimore market by hooking up with a realtor that's going to set you up with an auto search.
Totally. Totally. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming back on the show. This has been a great conversation. Tell us about your coaching program.
Yeah, it's, I mean, people can, they can just go to my website, markowens.com, to get information about it.
Okay.
There's also a link to a Facebook group that they can go to that I run that has a lot of content on it, mostly video, kind of like Facebook Live things at different properties and stuff like that. And it's free. I mean, all that stuff they can look at. You know, the information is free. If people want me, I provide as much information as I can at no cost.
Yeah.
If people want me specifically to work with them, now you're taking my time, and my time is my most valuable asset. So the information is free, but if people want me to work with them, they're paying for my time.
Definitely check it out. MarkOwens.com is his website. And if you feel like you need some one-on-one help, I think Mark would be a great mentor to help you out and get you going in the right direction. Mark, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming back on the podcast.
Hey, Dan, thanks again. You know, really, thanks again. You're providing a ton of value to people that it's just another fantastic resource where people can get unfiltered, you know, uncensored content, and hopefully it adds them, you know, adds to their learning. So I appreciate all that you're doing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate you coming on the show. If you missed Mark's contact information, I will put it on my website. You can look it up at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 143. Thank you so much for subscribing to the podcast. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.